Welcome back to the Retro Resistance podcast. Back as usual, me, ZXPEC Star, and the man that needs no introductions, but he's going to do it anyway.
Yeah, it's me, Mark 1976. I got my name right this time.
Yeah, you nearly got it wrong last time. How did you even get your own username wrong? Seriously.
Well, because I've got it different on Xbox, and I had it even different when I had a PS3, and it gets confusing. I do try and have the same one, but some bastards obviously got the same name as me for some reason.
Yeah, I imagine quite a few thousand people in this country got the same name.
Even my same real name, believe it or not.
Oh, God. Yeah, I imagine quite a few people have got the same name as you. But, hey, yeah. can't be helped in this day and age, though, can it?
No.
Yeah, at least they didn't name you Titsalina Bumsquirt or some strange, ridiculous name like that. You look at these celebrities, they call their names things like Apple and all sorts of things like that. And look at Beckham's kid, Harper 7. And you're like sitting there, it's like, oh dear, you're just going for a one-way case of child abuse and you're just not even doing it.
You know what would be a really bad name? If your name was Dickhead.
Why do you think anybody called Richard Head has problems? And yeah, I've actually known a few people that's actually said that. I remember I was in a shop once and some guy handed over his credit card that was in the queue, and the woman behind the counter was like, looked at the card, it actually said Richard Head on the card, and she's like, ah, Dickhead.
Oh, that reminds me of an episode of, I don't know whether you've watched the IT Crowd. There's this guy in that, and his name's Peter File. And when they're announcing it over the PA system, in the thingy, it sounds like Peter File.
I think another one, the ones I liked, was when I was living in Windsor, and there was actually a woman there, it's no overlay, her surname was Royds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then her first name was Emma.
Emma Royds.
I just said to this poor woman, I said, you've had to live with that all your life. I feel so sorry for you. It's just great over the tannoy here. It's the hemorrhoids? Hemorrhoids. The NHS are supplying free cream to Miss Hemorrhoids. Oh, dearie me. But anyway, I think we'll move on from making fun of people's name before we get the hate map. I can see the pitchforks burning from here. Oh, so it's good. So, yeah, so transmitting live from the basement of the Retro Asylum again is our howdy little home. And unlike Will, he's forced down here, and we sit here by choice. So what have you been doing this week then, mate?
Well, mainly I've been playing on my Xbox and uploading videos to YouTube. I've recorded a few over the weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've watched any of them yet.
No, I haven't. Bad me. I've had my phone out of action, so my emails have not been clicking in, and seeing that I very rarely check my emails on the computer. It does actually pave that I sometimes forget. because I've got to feed them through into our channel anyway. If you want to go here, personal whoring time, yes, the Retro Resistance does have a YouTube channel. So if you go from my own one, I think if Mouse goes out, you'll find it sitting there. Will be adding his videos soon, whether he likes it or not. And what have I been up to this week? Well, nothing much, really, apart from me sitting there going mental because my phone had a breakdown. Yeah, I was not too happy about that. Alongside, I was very, very, very displeased. The fact my phone I had for a year and a half and it finally went down. But luckily enough, my contract was up for renewal at the time. So I now have a shiny Samsung Galaxy S2. Very shiny.
Does that run all the emulators on that?
Yeah, because it's same again, it's Android. So,
and oh, that's Android. Good.
Yeah, so the first thing I installed, Spectrum emulator.
That's one I don't have, actually.
Yeah, look,
but then again, if you watch my Target Renegade video, you'll understand why.
But no, the Galaxy, it's very shiny, it's very big screen. And
Does the touch screen work really well?
Yeah, very well. Very well.
Because that's the thing, like I said before, that's what ruins most emulators, ain't it? Because on a lot of the phones, the touchscreen is more like hit and miss,
yeah.
I find. And even on, well, personally, I don't like playing games on a touchscreen.
Yeah,
because it's not the same, is it?
No, that's why I'm going to buy a joypad.
Yeah, that's what I'm after, one of them.
Yeah, so we'll have to look into press that. So speaking of dog around the forums, I had a look at the Raspberry Pi thing that was actually mentioned there.
Yeah, I was going to say about that.
Yeah, I was going to mention about that. That could possibly make a very nice little emulation machine.
Yeah.
It's tiny, it's small. You could fit into a bag and then just add a gamepad to it, probably put main on there and auto boot, and that would just be fantastic. You couldn't get any better than that for a little machine. You should take that on holiday and just sit there and say, you're going to the beach? No, I'm going to stick my emulation on. Fuck you. So, miniature screen. I reckon
how well does it run them, though?
It's a 733 megahertz, so it'll probably run most emulators quite nice.
It'll run, that'll even run your Neo Geo ones on that, pretty much
perfect. I was running the Neo Geos at full speed on a 200 megahertz one, so shouldn't be too much of a problem. Yeah.
I'm trying to think what speed my first computer was. I think that was only about 700.
Mm. I could go way back to the 286, so.
Yeah.
back in the days of 16 megahertz.
Because most of them, like, older, you know, emulators and that don't really need any graphics accelerators or anything, do they?
No, they don't.
It's only when you get into the 3D stuff and that don't work.
Yeah, well, that's hard because they've got to try and make programs and subroutines and all sorts of ways then to make it look at 3D and make it work properly. It takes a lot of time, and I give much respect to the guys who do it, who they basically spend their time to get these up and working, so they always get much.
So you've got your Model 3 emulator, it's got no chance of working on that, though, but then again, you can always run it on a PC anyway.
Precisely. For something like this, if I could get a machine like that, if I could just build that as an all-new Spectrum machine, I would be very happy.
Yeah, because it'll run all the 8-bit systems, no problem.
Yeah, no problem. So that's a good thing there. So the Raspberry Pi is good. And we'll have a look at the Steam Watch as well. And the game that I handed out to everybody, to Will, Blim and you, that came out from Ubisoft, Shoot Many Robots.
Yeah, because I watched the video of Guri, Larry and Ashens playing it, and I thought I'd actually try it myself on the 360, because they didn't really, well, I think it was more of a comedic sort of video, because they didn't really say a lot of good things about it, to be fair. Well, they didn't say it was shit, though, but they just didn't say, they just said it was, like, repetitive and that, but I did actually think it was pretty good.
Yeah, I sat there and thought about it, and it does bring back a classic old sort of Metal Slug style running, jumping along the platform style gameplay. I just find Shoot Many Robots is a lot more hectic. But you could definitely see where the retro roots of it have spawned from.
And you can shoot diagonally on it as well.
Yeah, you can pretty much shoot where you want because it uses the mouse control, which I think is a big advantage on the PC version.
When I play, I just use that Explorer mouse and keyboard emulator thing, and it works perfect with a joypad.
Yeah.
No messing around with it or anything. Well, I mean, we played it, ain't we? Yeah. When we first played it, I was trying to use it on the keyboard and that. I just can't play games like that.
you're hopeless.
Well, I haven't got a desk set up, you know, because if you've seen how I actually play the games, I've just basically got to sit in my chair and that and, you know, use a joypad. Or if I'm playing it on my, I probably could play it on the main cabinet, to be fair.
Yeah, as I said, you've probably got this tiny little desk where you got your mouse is so far next to your keyboard you can't actually move your mouse. And this one, I can imagine you huddled up into a little ball sitting on your chair, like.
Well, I've got a wireless mouse and I don't even have it on a desk. I just move it around, you know, whatever surface.
Yeah,
it works for anything.
Yeah, it's all good. I don't like wireless things; they just keep going.
Well, that's why if you see anything where I've typed anything, you'll see lots of like mess ups where I've actually typed it and me being a twat, I haven't looked to see if it's done all the letters and it's done it wrong. So it's not always a fault of my bad spelling. It's sometimes the keyboard hasn't bloody done what I've typed in.
Yeah, you want Blim's keyboard. That's an absolute beast.
Oh, he sent me a thing, yeah, Logitech one. It does look really good.
That thing is a beast. It loves it. How many other keyboards do you know that needs its own power supply? Seriously.
Yeah.
But that thing does it. It's even got a little miniature screen so we can watch YouTube videos while it's playing.
I know, it's really impressive. The only thing that puts it, you know, that stopped me getting one is the bloody price.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think it's about 180 quid.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's really, but that is a Masters gaming keyboard. So that just does everything. It just sits there and hums and sits there. Like, it's like, yes, I am in control. You are not. So if anybody wants to play something a bit recent, but with a sort of feel, I do recommend having a look over Ashen's and Larry's video. And so you can look at their fair opinion on it for themselves. But for us here, I do reckon Shoot Main Robots isn't all that much in the single player department. But if you've got a couple of mates with you, like we was, because the four of us were all playing it together, and it's a great laugh. It just burns your time. If you don't want to sit down for hours on end playing something, you can just sit down and have a quick blast and put it down again. It's been designed that way, I reckon.
And it's got replay value going back through the levels, because I've played a lot of levels by myself and got more nuts, because you collect nuts, don't you? And that's how you like buy different upgrades for your weapons and things like that.
Yeah,
me saying it now.
It's spreading. I'm saying it less and you're saying it more. And then you've also got the upgrades as well, so you could buy more than that. You could buy bigger guns, you could buy yourself strange pairs of trousers and helmets and hats and various other ones.
I still ain't got the hockey mask yet though. I'm gonna get that.
Oh yeah. you're gonna change your name to Rick from Splatterhouse. mind you, both Will and Blim have got that one, so
yeah, I know they have. Yeah, because at the moment I've got some stupid American football helmet.
Well, what was I was wearing a miniaturised football helmet. And it's strange, the funniest thing in this game, you play a very drunk hillbilly with a machine gun.
Yeah.
But like I say, if you want some madcap shooting and good old-fashioned 2D style platforming with a little 3D twist to it, then yeah, I'd say a good thumbs up for the Shoot Many Robots on this one. So get out there. It's only, if you're on Steam, it's $7.99. Not quite sure it's on PSN or for Xbox. It's only 800 points.
Yeah, 800 Microsoft points, which is about £8 anyway, I think.
Yeah, not fair enough. It's roughly around the same price no matter where you want. But
I think, from what I played on the demo on the Xbox, the PC one is actually better.
Yeah, so the Xbox version is good, but the Resistance recommends the PC version.
Yeah, if you've got a good enough PC to run it, though. But yeah, I would imagine it wouldn't take that much.
Oh, you'd be surprised how some go.
Then again, saying that, it does have a lot of shit going on and it doesn't slow down at all.
Yeah, that's very
good. Which brings me on to my next video I'm going to upload. It's one I was going to do ages ago. I don't know whether I mentioned it last time on the show. But because I'm running it on emulators, it doesn't really show what I meant, because it's Thunder Force 3 on the Mega Drive versus the SNES version, which is Thunder Spirits. Hmm. And on the actual hardware, because obviously that game's an American game, so if you're running it on a UK Super Nintendo, it's running at 15% slower for a start. I've got them massive border things, power borders, and the slowdown is horrendous, but when on the emulator, it don't slow down as much.
No.
So it doesn't really show what I wanted to show about how the... Because I do think the Mega Drive is better than the Super NES in some ways, but at the time, I sold my Mega Drive to buy the Super NES. And yeah, with games like that, the Super NES is complete crap at doing them, because it slows down all somewhat chronic on R-type or shooter sort of games.
Mm. And it's just strange how that affected the Super Nintendo. So a little flawed thing. And before we move on to what we're going to talk about this month, trouble over at Sonic 2 Retro as well. And they had a massive, great big blow, especially when the Sonic 2 HD... things started ringing up as keylogger. There was a massive fallout there.
I found out that from the thing Blim said it. Because when I installed it, McAfee went mental, right? But then again, like you and everyone else seem to think McAfee's a load of shit anyway.
Mm. It wasn't just that it was going through. But they found out the guy that's the head of the project kindly posted on there and actually put the whole sort of situation into perspective, and it was basically their project leader lost their lead programmer sort of thing, had apparently gone completely schizo in the defense of his work. And they put the ban that he deliberately programmed it wrong alongside that. And then as this sort of thing starts getting deeper, they looked at the system specifics for running this game, and it was higher than the system specs required for running this basic 2D game in all aspects was higher than running Crysis on the PC.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, and so they go, this requires an i3 dual core processor, and the people that in the figure's like, no. And then they started looking in, and the programming was massively bloated, and then something went on, and then suddenly someone realized someone did something to a file, and then DRM kicked in. yeah. and sitting there saying, and again, they were saying, "Well, hold on a second. It's like, why does this even have DRM? This is a freeware project. We're not going to make money on this. It's not going to be anything. So why the hell has this guy even put DRM in?" And then again, something else came up, which then came up with something to do with a forced upgrade because their version is out of date. This guy was planning on making people get this program many times. And in the end, the people, the whole entire group said, no, enough is enough. This guy cannot continue.
Yeah.
And then they disbanded, they sent him, threw him out of the team. So how this is going to affect the project is very, very unknown at the moment. So
and going, Sega hasn't even moaned about it yet.
No, there's...
won't be too pleased.
They wouldn't be too pleased. Or not. Actually, you think that they could actually be quite smiling because their little property is sold. But to say that Sega hadn't noticed this sort of project, I would probably say it's an understatement. I reckon they have. And they're sitting there watching.
And waiting for them to finish it like what they did with Streets of Rage.
Yeah, and then slap down the ban on it. But they should know, Sega should know far too well, they can't ban it. Even if they say, you can't do it here, it will turn up elsewhere. The Streets of Rage remake is on Streets of Rage Online.
Yeah,
and you can download it from there. So, no matter what they say, they'll never stop that game from getting out and about, which is a good thing. Okay, right. Yeah. So that's what we've been up to and what's been happening from what we found out about of lately, and we're now moving on to our section. We're going to go into Street Fighter. Many, many happy years and memories of Street Fighter, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So. We're going to go through the lists of all the we could basically put them alongside for most of them are basically franchises for each game, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think originally with the first one they was going to do that. I don't know because it's different people that done the first one. I think it may have had some of them at the time that done Street Fighter 2, mm-hmm. but I think the main guy was the guy who done. King of the Fighters. So Swaney sent me this information on the site once. Because I never knew that.
Yeah, that was okay. Because I think after Street Fighter 2, he transferred over to SNK.
Yeah.
And then he helped in the development of Fatal Fury.
Yeah, because Fatal Fury was in development before Street Fighter 2, I think.
Yeah, and then they come. Street Fighter 2 came out, and then they just needed this guy, and he helped him out, finish it off, and bring out Fatal Fury. So... it's all good in the long run there for this one. But let's have a look back in history and roll it all back to the original Street Fighter. Now, I didn't actually play this one until after I played Street Fighter 2 when I was in the arcade once. But definitely with this. Street Fighter, I played the pressure button once when I played it. And did you play the pressure button one?
First time I ever played it. It had the big, big massive cabinet, considering it's only a two-player game, with the big pneumatic buttons, I think they're called.
Yeah,
where you actually whack them, like...
Yeah,
measures one of the three strengths.
Yeah, I'm like sitting there thinking, it's like, wow, only two buttons to play a game like this. And then you sit there, it's like, when you actually sit there, and the machine didn't actually tell you that you were actually, or the one that I was playing with, didn't tell you that you actually had, the harder you press the button, the harder your move would be. Because it made me wonder how a few people they're doing, they were sitting there punching down on the buttons. And possibly giving themselves a hand injury at the same time because those things weren't soft.
No, they were quite hard.
But it was definitely unique at the time. But then a short time period after, they released the second edition rounds of it, which used these setup for the six button system.
Yeah, I think the story with that is because a lot of people was actually hurting themselves, and the machines were breaking down constantly because they're basically with anything in an arcade. You get all sorts of people playing them, don't you? And some people, like, were just abusing the cabinets, like, proper abusing them, hitting them with mallets and stuff. Thinking No, this is true, honestly. I've seen a guy do that with one of them wooden mallets.
He must have gone over to something on the other side to one of the other things at the fair. And Tenryu says, excuse me, can I borrow your mallet, please? Yeah, what are you doing with it? I'm just going off to play Street Fighter. Don't mind me. And all the Kusoto is swearing, nah! some guy going absolutely mental. But they could at least use a rubber mallet, at least, so they didn't do somewhat more damage.
They'll damage it anyway.
Yeah, but it was good they switched to the 6-button system on that one.
Well,
so
it was good and it was bad because then a lot of the moves don't actually work properly.
Yeah.
Because if you did a fireball, you can do like a million. Because if you watch that video I did on the Commodore one, when I'm playing the arcade version first, you do the movement and then press the button, but for some reason it doesn't always register it. It's like registers sort of when you let go of the button. I don't know why.
Yeah, it was strange. But then we'll look at the game now. Yes, this is where classic Ryu and Ken started their journey. And you do look at Ryu had red hair then.
Yeah, and slippers.
Yeah, so I sit there. So he must have fought between Street Fighter 1 and 2. Damn it, I'm a real man now. let's lose the slippers and we'll start walking around barefoot, which he seems to do anyway.
And you could only have like Ryu or Ken. You only had Ken if you were player 2.
Yeah, or if you started the game on 2-player side, then you actually go through the game with Ken. And there was 10 opponents to the whole game, alongside it, of which I'm trying to think a lot of them, or quite a few of them, actually resurfaced over time.
Yeah.
But we'll get to them. But again, the final boss in this one was also Sagat.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is also the prelude to him getting the scar across his chest, because in this game, he doesn't have it.
No, apparently he gets that. Ryu does
the Dragon Punch
show Ryuken, and that's how he gets the scar, because he loses to Sagat. So loses to him.
Yeah,
apparently.
And he's been walking around like a vengeful twat ever since.
Yeah.
But like I say, you can't really say that there was anything memorable in the sort of storyline, barring that one bit there. That's alongside it. For its time, I think the graphics were nice. For what was about at the time, I reckon it was pretty damn good.
The main thing that let it down, though, really, was the sound was horrendous.
Yeah.
Like the sampled speech. I don't know if you can find like a bit and like put it into this now, where it's got like what strength, but don't forget there are many guys like you all over the world, like in a really bad like broken English, like terrible like voice.
Oh, I'm keeping that one on there. It's great.
But that's what it's like it, and. When it does the special moves, because I always, if I played it, play it on MAME, I always use the Japanese version. Because when you did a fireball, it does say Hadouken and that. Whereas on the thingy one, the American and UK one, it says something stupid, like hands fire or something. Like, it's just ridiculous.
To me, whenever I sit down and I play it, it sounds like they're out in American football games. They always go, and I think it's like, am I playing Street Fighter? Am I playing NFL quarterback or something like that?
They do have all the moves like they're doing Street Fighter 2, Ryu and Ken. Dragon Punch, Cyclone Kick, and Fireball. But really hard to pull the moves off.
It's very delayed, but there is the thing, if you actually hit somebody with it, they can literally kiss goodbye to half their energy. You're up to two.
Exactly. If you did a fireball, you can take like 3/4 of the energy down sometimes, depending if they're really close.
Yeah.
As I say, if you watch that video I've done on the Commodore game, when I was comparing the UK and the US one, literally, if you did a fireball when you're like right close to them, 3/4 of the energy, and then just hit them once more and they're dead.
Yeah.
Which completely ruins any balance in the game.
Oh, it does. And it's like I say, the other bad guys, they don't really have any sort of. Projector. I think the one called Geki, he's possibly got his throwing stars.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And then Sagat has. Sagat's the only
He's the only one. But I figure that was just done as a remedy to basically just counteract for the fact that you could do it.
And he does it all the bloody time, the tiger shot.
Yeah, and so it just shows how cheap he is. Among sides that, you had the little chopping the slates and bonus game as well, which I could never do and never really gave a crap about.
On the original one, where you chop the like slate things, that would be the one where you'd whack the button and it'd do it as hard as you hit it, like to break it. But then when they change it to the 6 button, the thing just goes up and down, don't it, really quick?
Yeah.
And it doesn't quite work. And then the other bonus stage where you've got to like kick these things that the guys are holding up, them little like board things.
Yeah.
That's complete crap. That's really easy to do.
Yeah.
So, no challenge so whatsoever.
So you get punished one way for this one, and then it goes from there, and you are sitting. It's like, oh well.
And another thing about that bonus stage where you actually break through the slate things, if you've got Ken, the only difference is he's got red bottoms on and blonde hair, but he looks exactly the same as Ryu, so they haven't even changed a thing, so he's got long hair. So he's just got short hair, like, so he cuts his hair for the bonus stage and it grows back again for the next level. It's stupid.
Oh, it's all great. So naughty, naughty Capcom from on the side there. All in all, you can see they were on the right track with the first Street Fighter game. They just didn't apply it properly.
No, I don't think it was a huge success, though, really. Because a lot of people had never heard of it.
No, not PMA. No, because it all went off, especially when Street Fighter 2 came out. And like I say, that was the first one I remember playing, especially when you had the fairs come to have it. They always stuck it on their machines that had the biggest screens. So because they wanted people to see, because they know that people are going to sit there and really pump their money into this one. So I think the people at Capcom, they could have just sat there and said, look, guys, Street Fighter was wasted. It was crap. Let's just give it up here. But no, they decided, nope, we're going to make this great. And they bought out Street Fighter 2, and they just completely turned the original one on its head and basically brought out the legacy of what is still running today.
And something else Capcom are now known for today, doing like loads and loads of versions of the same game.
Of the same game, is definitely. When you look at the first release coming out of it, they increased the roster, so they think, oh, let's bring back Ryu and Ken. They were popular alongside it. But again, there was still no differentiation between them. And then we also had the introduction of Chun-Li, who's become mainstay and staple of the series. Then, of course, Blanka, Zangief, Dalsim, E-Honda, and who was the other one? I can't remember who it is. But Guile. How can I forget him? So then they become the staple, this one. And then basically what was here was this amazing fighting game with different people, with all these different styles, and all of the fighting people. And just the crowds to the arcades just to get to play this game were just massive. And even sitting down watching a player who was good at it this time was just great to see. On that one. And then you can also see the people that sucked at the game as they're trying to get past like the second or third opponent. And you're just sitting there thinking, it's like, oh dear, well, you really do suck.
I think that really came into its own with the Planet 2 player.
Yeah, definitely. That's where the big competition started. And that's where the main jewel of the Street Fighting era basically is with this one. And then, like I say, it was an amazing game. People using the different characters and seeing all. And then you really, truly had to sit there, work out how each of these characters work. And it created the legend. And then Capcom decided, it's like, oh, hold on a second. Why don't we release another version where you can actually be the boss characters as well?
Yeah, the Champion Edition.
Yeah, the Champion Edition. So, of course, now Balrog, who some people say is Mike from Street Fighter, but then a lot of them disapprove, saying no, it's not. So, and my own opinion, it looks like him. I think it is. I personally recognize.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Yeah, I do think
because
it is.
Because in the Japanese version, it's called M. Bison.
Mm.
Because they couldn't have that in America because it sounds too much like Mike Tyson, and they thought it'll suit them. It's like then in America when the first Street Fighter came out, they had to give Ken a second name, Ken Masters, because in America that Barbie, the company that made Barbie, Mattel, was going to sue Capcom because they thought that was Barbie's boyfriend in Street Fighter. You ever seen Barbie's boyfriend? He's like, what? He has a handbag, for God's sake.
Yeah, you can imagine him in the Street Fighter. I'll be glad when Ryu gives him a nice, strong dragon punch straight to the chin. Yay! Genuine fashion doll fighter. Yeah, let's bring some of that out. And Barbie and Cindy bitch fighting to the max. Only one could survive. Let's find the true side of them. But no, they bought out the next edition, and like I said, the big bad man M. Bison was available, and Sagat reared his ugly head again, now including his in sacrificial scar that's going across his chest. He's a pissed off person and he wants his own back at Ryu. I think he's probably more pissed off because he's now the sub boss and not the main one.
Yeah, he was a quite good boss actually on the first one.
He was good, and it was well reflected in the second one because it was basically like fighting him again alongside that one. No, and so then they brought out that one, and then some characters got themselves like an extra move or so alongside that one. But then what had happened is then they said, okay, right, we need another edition. which was the Hyper Fighting one.
Yeah, it's known as Turbo as well. The Japanese one, Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Yeah, but the whole entire main reason why that was brought about was because of the ROM hack boards.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those just pop up in the arcades.
Yeah.
The Mania Edition, Rainbow Edition, Black Belt Edition. Basically, what they'd done is, I think it was, they were Chinese rip-offs, weren't they? Or Taiwanese rip-offs of the game.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Where someone had hacked like the actual arcade board and made the game so like you could change player by pressing the one player button during a match. You know, change character.
And then things like Zangief, he does a spinning Kozai, like a Sonic Boom flies out as well.
Yeah, and the best character on one of those is Balrog, because when you do his quick punch, you don't have to charge it anymore.
No.
Just go back forward and punch.
And
two Hadoukens come out at the same time, so you can knock someone out with about three of them.
Yeah, exactly.
And win the round.
I saw one where Sagat does a tight grab cut. It doesn't matter if he misses, he releases seven Hadoukens in front of him as well.
Yeah.
So it was just really cheap. And you could do all your moves in midair as well.
Exactly, yeah.
But the whole upsizing, they were good and they were fun, but they were just
completely
so unbalanced.
The game. Yeah, make it completely unbalanced.
Yeah, so that's where Capcom decided to step in. It's like, okay, so people want some faster gameplay, but they want the balance on it. So that's why they introduced the Hyper Fight, and it had the speed which the ones would run at, but it was still a fair challenge on that one. And other than that, some shiny new colours for the characters as well. So then it came wandered along, and then they decided, it's like sitting there, it's like, oh yeah, well, why don't we do a Super Street Fighter 2? It's like, yay, fantastic. And
with
so,
four new characters, yeah, that was designed by different... two of them were designed in America and two of them was actually designed in Japan.
Yeah, you can probably see Fei Long was done by the Far East.
Yeah, and I think... what's his name? The big Mexican bloke, T-Hawk. I think he was as well.
Yeah.
I might be wrong on that.
Oh, I'm sorry, T-Hawk is just the biggest retard.
Well, he's got a really powerful move where he grabs them and slams them into the floor.
Yeah, spinning around this one. He's like, "Cynic, you're just trying to take Zangief's place, aren't you?" I've gained a lot of respect for Zangief over these years. I just find him a lot more playable and a lot more.
The thing is, these days, if you play it like on a joystick or a joypad, I do think the move's a lot easier to do. Whereas you played it on the arcade or the Super Nintendo years ago, and I could never do the spinning pole driver. Never do it at all.
Yep,
I do it pretty much every time now.
Yep, and then they also introduced Cammy, who's kind of gained a location crisis halfway between this one, because she was from Britain in Super Street Fighter 2, but then the Alpha storyline tells differently.
I never knew that. It just comes up England, and it's got like a place like that's like a castle or something, you know, really generic, with apparently the Northern Lights in the background.
Yep, well, in Alpha 3, she's classified as Greece, so don't know where that one's coming from. And then we have DJ, and the less said about him, the better.
Yeah, Jamaican stereotype again.
Yeah, exactly. So,
probably offensive if you're from there.
Yeah, I'm hardly surprised someone didn't call racism on that one.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, what about the intro? For the first Street Fighter 2, people have, like, put racist comments for that on YouTube,
yet
no one complained about it at the time on the arcade or anything.
No, they didn't. But it was there. And then we're sitting there and goes, okay, right, what we got next? And they go, oh no, we'll release one more edition. And we're like, oh jeez. and then so of course the Turbo edition that came out, and then that introduced the bad man, Mr. Akuma. Yeah.
Oh, he's known as Gookie as well.
Gookie as well. Yeah. So I just call him the bad man. And he was one where through the many, many years that we've been playing Street Fighter 2, and most people used to sit there, even the confident people were worried about Bison and think, then all of a sudden they've done that, and then all of a sudden this guy just comes in and just decks Bison in a single Shungu Satsu, and then he's just standing there in front of you, and you're like, wow, who are you? And then only to be repeatedly beaten and bitch slapped into the ground. So it was just fantastic to see another one. And I think this was totally dependent on if this guy was going to be popular or not, whether he would reappear. And he actually did turn out being quite popular because he never vanished.
No, he's in every other games following that.
Yeah, he is, which leads into Street Fighter Alpha series.
Yeah, Well, the first one, actually, we've missed one there, and we've missed something else we were going to talk about. Ooh, so we've missed Street Fighter the movie.
Oh, no, we're coming back to that. We're coming back to that one. So we're moving on. We're talking about the games, not the hideistic thing they tried to pass as a game. But yeah. But anyway, Street Fighter Alpha, when I first saw it on there, I think it was like, wow, this is different. This has got cartoony style graphic representations. They kind of lost their realistic look, didn't they?
Yeah.
Alongside.
Now, at the time, I never really played it on the arcade. First time I ever played that was on the PlayStation 1.
Yeah, this is the same place where I did as well.
Because I got rid of my Super Nintendo. I'll go back a bit. I bought the Super Nintendo. I got rid of my Mega Drive to buy the Super Nintendo for Street Fighter 2. And I paid like £65 for Street Fighter 2 or something ridiculous.
Ouch.
Andy said he paid 80, I think. I might be wrong. He said he was talking about it on a podcast, and I had to buy the converter for £20, and then you shove Super Mario World in the back of the converter, and Street Fighter 2 goes in the top, and then it's sort of like a silly shape thing that goes in the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, just and, so you can play from abroad.
Yeah, that's the main reason I bought the Super Nintendo for Street Fighter 2.
Mm.
And that's how I got better at it, because when I originally played it in the arcade, I didn't know none of the moves on that.
Mm.
But it tells you all of them in the instruction manual, so, you know, if you've got it at home, you can practice on it.
Yeah,
and then when next time the fair used to come over in our town, this was, God, going back when I was about 15 or something, if I was playing it on the arcade, and like, because obviously I could do all the fireballs and that then, after having it on the Super NES, used to hear like kids like say, oh, I'm not playing him, he knows how to do the moves.
it's all the whiny and whinging. Ah, it's all, you sort of say, I'll go away. But the Alpha series coming on, they changed the tone as well. And now the Alpha series is set before Street Fighter 2 anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's known as Zero in Japan. So so essentially, it could have been set even before the very first Street Fighter game, for all we know, alongside that one. And also, when the Alpha series came out, they basically kept the same premise. The Super Balls worked slightly differently.
Because that came on the Street Fighter 2 Turbo, didn't it? Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, sorry.
Yeah.
And that's something that Capcom have actually sold off SNK.
Yeah. So you like said, it's like, oh, thank you, we'll borrow that. So it had a stage system in it. And then they also brought back some of the older characters as well through Street Fighter Alpha 1 and 2. We saw the return of Adam. Again, was brought back in again, as characters. And then also you got linked into a host of new characters as well, people like Rose, and the Final Fight characters were beginning to emerge.
Yeah,
as well.
Sodom, Guy, and Cody.
Yeah, Guy and Cody was introduced in Alpha 3. Rolento was in Alpha 2 onwards. So yeah, so they actually started incorporating more of the other games. So in it was just like, it's like, wow, we've got quite a mix here. And then by the time 98 came round. And then Street Fighter Alpha 3 hit the market, and then that was the biggest conglomerates for all of it there, and possibly the best version they did, alongside the whole lot. And then it also gives you more of the backstory between the between some of the characters, and you actually be Guile's friend Charlie,
yeah,
as well. And he's another one that suffered from name change syndrome as well.
And it was Nash on the Zero version; they were called Nash.
Yeah. So some like figures like wow, you Japanese are crazy. You like changing people's names. It's all good there. And then when you looked into Street Fighter, it also introduced the biggest retard in Street Fighter history, known as Dan.
Yeah.
and everyone knows at this time there was a bit of bad blood between Capcom and SNK, because they were basically warring over the 2D thing like that. And of course, Capcom had been watching over Art of Fighting. And that they basically created Dan as a self-parody of Ryo when he can only chuck a fireball like 2 inches in front of him because his spirits run out, and just generally like that. So it was kind of a smack in the face to SNK for this one. But to give you the truth and honesty, I think SNK took it in good stead, because they never kind of really retaliated against it in any shape, way or form. And also Dan has become a staple as well.
Yeah.
For it. So, and it was great, and it was very satisfying actually beating somebody with Dan. Plus, he was the only person who could actually taunt any time he wants.
Yeah, he could do it unlimitedly, couldn't he? Yeah. Whereas with all the other characters, you could only do it once.
Well, we if you jump and taunt, he can crouch and taunt. You can sit there. If you do the fireball motion, and do it. He rolls forward and does the taunt. If you do the hurricane kick, he rolls back and taunts.
And he can do a super taunt thing as well.
Yeah, he can. That's just the funniest thing about it. He sits there and does about, was it three rolls forward with it? And then just, I'm just thinking, that must possibly be the most... I give credit to anybody who could actually pull off the level 3 super taunt and actually finish it on in any match with Street Fighter Alpha 3, playing against a human person, and they actually let him do it. I will give somebody £50 if they could actually sit there and pull it out without taking a fist to the face. And you can't, and the opponent genuinely must be moving as if he's trying to get him or trying to back up something because he doesn't know. Because if he's just standing there, that don't count. But if anybody who can actually sit there. Oh, the other thing as well, I think if you've got, with Dan, I think if you've got the Z-ism, I think it is. Yeah, you can actually know when you do the thing where you switch the mode and then you can do all the punches and things like that. You could do it with his taunts as well.
Oh, I didn't know.
you could do an ism taunt combo.
And on the PlayStation 1 version of it, you had like dramatic battle as well where you could play as the two players against one,
and that was good. That came to the fact, and like when it was first released out as well, that was good because you basically just had Ryu and Ken versus Bison, which was the penultimate sort of battle, which is actually well documented inside that. And it was just fast, furious. It was just over in seconds because the Bison was just absolutely maniacal in that one. And then they rehamped it again in Alpha 3, but they gave you the proper rank structure of the bosses to fight against, and then they perfected it in the Dreamcast version. Where you could actually have 2-on-1 and 2-on-2 on the players as well. So you could actually plug in 4 pads and actually have proper 2-on-2 fights.
I've never played the Dreamcast version of it. I've only had it on the PlayStation.
Yeah, best version, Dreamcast version. It's got the full 60Hz option, full speed, no load times. It was
the thing that killed the PlayStation versions of any of them. It used to take forever to load.
Yeah, but the long time with Street Fighter Alpha, it was still good old-fashioned Street Fighter style action. Nothing really had changed much, and then along came the other successor that comes along, when they turn around and say, we think it's now time for Street Fighter 3.
Now, myself, I don't like Street Fighter 3 at all. I've spoken about this loads of times.
Oh, I hate you.
I think even though I bought it again for the Xbox, I really don't. I think it's massively overrated because people say that's the best one out of all of them. I don't think it is. I think 2 is much better.
No, I do like 3. On the main sort of premise is you do need to be rather skilled if you want to play it at a high level alongside it. The only thing I don't like is a lot of the new characters that are introduced to the whole sort of series. The Steadfast were replaced when First Strike Edition came out. So Chun-Li was brought back in on the basic premise of either you put her back in or we're going to kill you. And then, of course, Ryu and Ken weren't even going to be in it.
No, apparently... I don't know whether this is true. When they first done the test, they done a test version of it, a location test, and it didn't have Ryu and Ken in at all, on just normal Street Fighter 3 in a new generation. And because people complained so much about it, Capcom put them back in.
Yeah, they had to. You couldn't do this one. And essentially, Street Fighter 3 is basically the events after Street Fighter 4. They like going back and forth, don't they? Alongside that. But it's just, like I say, it does progress natural. The character lineup. Well, I just can't say, Simon. A lot of them that have moved out and being resurfaced. Yun and Yang. I kind of do like them alongside it. Dudley, I did like because he was a different style of boxer character.
Yeah,
he still didn't have any kicks or anything like that. He still played only punches, but he was a lot more refined. He was a differentiation because you just didn't want to play with another Balrog clone.
No.
Alongside that one, and Dudley was perfect alongside that one. They didn't want another Zangief So they brought in Hugo, or aka Andor from Final Fight.
Yeah.
And again, his fighting style was very different as well. You'd see him hitting people, bouncing off the wall, like catching them and giving them backbreakers and things like that. So it was just good to see. But then you do look at some of the others. You look at Remy, he's basically just a Guile clone who just looks like a massive oversized blue haired hippie. Twelve I can't really say in love. The Necro I just can't stand. No. Makoto was good enough, was a nice character. She had a nice different fighting style, hence why she got pulled out and put into Street Fighter 4. Then who else was recognisable there? I can't think. We got Urien, who's the brother of the boss Gil, and the man who basically fights in what looks like Pampers diapers.
Yeah, the boss is, like I said when I was talking about it with Andy, the boss is ridiculous, where he comes on and he's wearing like speedos and he looks like proper gay and camp and that. Yeah. Well, you got him compared to Bison or Sagat at the other two games, and he just looks ridiculous, totally out of place.
He looks totally out of place.
And he's a real cheating bastard as well. Like, he's unreal how he cheats, and then he's got a super move where he can get like 3/4 of his energy back.
Oh, the one easy way around that is if he's got that bar full, keep your super move in spare. Because then the moment he triggers that, you trigger your super move and knock him straight back out again. Or if you catch it early enough, he'll probably only have about 1/4 of his bar back, so it's like, not having you that. But then again, that was a beginner's trap anybody who's started fighting. Anybody who's experienced with fighting Gil now knows that one. The only other character I did like, which is annoying me because they know if it was Alex, because he was designed to be a Ryu and Ken nightmare. Because of the fact that he had that stun gun headbutt move, which he could just hop over fireballs, grab them because they're exposed, and just headbutt them in. But the thing is, as soon as he finished that move, it left them stunned, so you can then get into a really strong grip and then just slam them down again afterwards. So, that was all good. And they also did, which was good, a lot of people liked, a lot of people didn't, was you can only use one super move. And they also, depending on how strong they were, and how, also depending on how quickly it took to charge and how many charges of it you could have as well, which I thought was a nice touch.
But I think, like I said on a podcast before as well, when I was talking about Street Fighter 3 with Andy ages ago, I think the main thing that ruins the third Strike version is the totally out of place and horrendous rap music.
Yeah.
That is so hideously... I don't know who the guy is that does it, because they've even got him to redo it differently on the Xbox One, you know, and it sounds no better whatsoever. I'd say it sounds probably just as bad. But he is that poor a rapper on that. I can honestly say... Where's Vanilla Ice? Vanilla Ice would be better having on it. This guy is that bad. He's worse than Vanilla Ice.
There are a few tunes on the Street Fighter 3 soundtrack.
The ones where he's not on them, basically.
Yeah, we cannot hear his voice, and you'll be fine.
It's sort of like they went for more like a sort of like techno sort of style of the music instead of like how. I don't think the music's nowhere near as memorable as Street Fighter 2.
No, they're
on none of the stages or anything.
Yeah, there were some good ones on Street Fighter Alpha, especially Alpha 3. There were some really good tracks.
Yeah, that has got some good ones, to be fair.
But then Street Fighter 3, you're sitting there, it's like kind of, no, you're going wrong. But even with Street Fighter 4, they actually introduced the remixes of the classic tracks anyway. They sound pretty damn good.
Yeah, you can switch that on, can't you?
Yeah, so that's a really nice, that one. And then of course, a lot of people just would turn around and sit and say, it's like, why didn't they ever do a 3D version of Street Fighter?
They did,
and that was Street Fighter. Yeah. But they didn't do it themselves.
No, they got
Akira.
I've never heard of doing anything else, I don't think.
They did have a few other games, because basically after the point where they introduced their own characters, namely, I think it was, I can't remember some of their names. They're just going to show up.
Skullamania
was one of them.
Alan, Oh, there's quite a few, but they're you can't really remember them.
It's not
that good. There's Cracker Jack, he's quite good. He's sort of a Balrog ripoff, but he's got a baseball bat that he pulls out and whacks somewhere.
But when you do look at it, with the EX series, the characters just aren't memorable.
I thought the first one was terrible, yeah. It looks a polygonated mess. It aged really, really badly. It looks diabolical. But then a few years later, after probably, everyone started getting like the Dreamcast games and that, I got EX2 on my PlayStation 1 for like 10 quid or something. And I thought EX2 is really good. It does really play like Street Fighter 2. It's got the bonus stages and everything. And the graphics are so much better than what they were on the first one.
Yeah, and then you look at the only thing I really did enjoy on the Street Fighter EX was the and this is something which I noticed Capcom have kept doing, was the ones where you had the instruction and what you had to do and then you had to do it.
Yeah,
that one was really, really good. I did enjoy that, and like I say Capcom incorporated that into their Street Fighter games afterwards, because they're in theirs too. Because I actually managed to do the one where you had to keep your opponent in the air for 10 seconds and also keep yourself in the air for 10 seconds. Believe me, I had a dead wrist at the end of it for doing it, but it was just a nightmare. But when I actually saw them, when I realised just how easy they were to do, I'm not sitting there, it's like, I feel like an idiot. So I'm just like, it's like, oh man. So, but it's kind of burying my head in shame on that one. But you do look like that around that when EX2 came out, things like this. Capcom did do their own 3D fighting game.
Rival Schools.
But the thing is, Rival Schools was fucking great.
See, I've never really got into that. I've got it on the Dreamcast, the American version, which I think is the second one, Project Justice.
So you've not sat down and played. Right, sit down. Yeah.
Yeah.
And play that, yeah? And then look at Street Fighter X, and you just sit there and tell yourself, why the hell did Capcom not do this themselves? Whenever I sit there and I think about it, that's the first thing when I played Rival Schools. I sat there, because I played EX, I played EX2, and I just sat there, I said to my mate, I was like, why did Capcom not do this themselves? Why did they license this?
There was even rumours in like computer and video games when I used to read that magazine regularly that Capcom Street Fighter 3 was going to be in 3D.
Yeah, it was.
Before EX. And some people was even, which I hate this, when people like mislabel games, lie about the title, like calling it Street Fighter EX. No, Street Fighter 3 EX. Or like, here's another one. This annoys me. I hear this on YouTube quite a lot. People reckon Green Beret 2 is Midnight Resistance.
No,
it's got nothing whatsoever to do with it.
There is actually one which was the kind of unofficially labelled Green Beret 2, which was Missing in Action.
Yeah, that's a really good game, actually.
Yeah, and if you could say anything, Missing in Action is more like Green Beret.
It's exactly like it because you stab it and you get the extra weapons. I've got that on the game room on the 360. That's the biggest waste of time ever. You ever seen that on a 360?
No, I haven't.
It's basically having your own virtual online arcade, yeah, where you buy all the games that ain't brilliantly emulated. Some of them are completely badly emulated. But this is the worst thing. Say, like, I've got all these games, yeah, and it'll show, like, other people that you've got as your friends, like Andy and, Glenn and everyone I've got on there, going around my arcade, but if Andy comes online, he can't play any of my games on it anyway. So what's the point in having it?
That sounds extremely like something they ripped off the PC community anyway.
Yeah, because you get MAME like that, can't you?
We've had that for God knows how long.
Yeah.
But like I say, play Rival Schools, because Rival Schools, it had the team-up mode on it, where you could sit there, call your mates in for help. And it wasn't just attacks as well, depending on who you actually chose as your partner. Would actually have different effects as well. So if you chose something like you got the main three characters. If you've got Batsu and Kiyosuke, who reappeared in Capcom versus SNK 2, if you chose them two, then they actually did a double up attack.
Yeah.
But if you actually choose either one of those two and Hinata, their other friend, she basically comes on and she gives you about five of your super bars back. So you actually got health charge, and it's like out of two of the teachers, as well. If you have the female teacher, Kyoko, she actually comes and actually heals you back up again. She recharges part of your energy back.
Who's the guy in it with a crash helmet on?
That's a girl.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Yeah, that's actually a girl. So that's Akira. Apparently, she's a friend of Sakura's.
Yeah.
So don't know how that works out down at the old school. But again, Sakura was put in.
And again, I mean, as much as like people don't like EX, one thing you've got to agree though, Tony, is it's much better than like when Midway tried to make Mortal Kombat in 3D.
That was embarrassing.
That's got to be the worst 3D fighting game out of anything.
Yeah, it's. This is
a decent franchise sort of thing, you know.
All I see is that they tried to copy Mortal Kombat 3, and then they tried to put the inclusion of weapons. If they didn't have the weapons, and they just kept it to something like how they did Mortal Kombat 2, I reckon that wouldn't have got half the slaying it got.
But the graphics are horrendous.
For now they are, but for the time they were pretty okay.
I don't know. I do think they actually look worse on that than any 3D other 3D fighter. They're really like badly animated on that, and they just look, you know, a complete mess.
Especially
if you got it on a system like the Dreamcast as well.
Oh yeah, that was embarrassing. When you look at side. And you had fighting games on the Dreamcast like Power Stone. You had Star Gladiator.
Dead or Alive 2.
Yeah, Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
And things like that. Yeah, Mortal Kombat Gold looked absolutely embarrassing. especially when you compared it to Soul Calibur. Oh, dear God, then that looked bad. As far as that goes. But when we do look at the whole things, I don't think they've actually made a truly bad Street Fighter game. Capcom are very smart in their development of their titles. They know to take their time with and not to rush things out. That's why there was such a delay between Street Fighter 3 and Street Fighter Street Fighter 4, nearly 10 years work time.
Yeah, that's right. Well.
But then again, some people will sit there and go, "Well, they're complaining they want a new Street Fighter." I won't complain. I was still playing the original ones. Yeah,
I still play Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, I still kick the old ones in every now and then just to sit there and just to try my luck out on it and see if I can actually do any better.
But then again, they did like license it and to incredible technologies, like I said earlier, who done Street Fighter who excreted Street Fighter the movie.
Oh, no.
So that's a bad Street Fighter game, technically.
technically, can we let Capcom off this one because they didn't actually have anything to do with it?
Well, they did when they done the PlayStation port.
Capcom must have turned around and said to the side of the side, "Oh, look, this is actually a piece of shit. Let's actually ruin these guys' names even more and let's see how much worse we can make this." And it's true. Street Fighter the movie was fucking horrendous. it was just like sinners. Like they probably sit there and go, "Well, how should we do this?" Well, it seemed to work for those guys who did that Mortal Kombat game over there. They seem to do well with digitized actors and things like this. But then even when you do look at the Mortal Kombat game, the digitized actors in Mortal Kombat 2 and so forth like looked a lot better than the ones in the Street Fighter game.
I think they look pretty good on the arcade version, but on the if you see the PlayStation version, they're like really badly digitized.
Yeah, did they try to up the res for the home version? Well, mind you, PlayStation only did 3:22:40.
Yeah, I think they lowered it actually, and lowered the animation as well. It's like as bad as Mortal Kombat is, and like people slate it and that. It's like what I said on the video. It does look a hell of a lot better. Even the first Mortal Kombat does look a hell of a lot better than the Street Fighter movie.
Yeah, and we look at the Street Fighter. It played. It was a Street Fighter game.
It was trying to play as Super Turbo, weren't it? Basically, but looking nowhere near as good.
Yeah, and then you had those pointless Blade characters that were on it as well. It says it Blade X or Blade X3R and stupid characters which were just basically Bison's foot troopers inside.
And the actors don't look the part for who they're supposed to be playing.
No, they
don't. I mean,
don't.
You want to see the guy they got playing Akuma? My God. It's like this little skinny Asian bloke, yeah? Who just looks... He looks ridiculous.
Yeah, and if you look at Akuma in any sort of...
He's like a demon, don't he?
He is. He's a monster.
Yeah.
He's an absolute monster. But it reminds me of... I was actually flicking through a Street Fighter art book Now, up until the point, I'd only ever seen Akuma in output pictures in his normal gi, or when he's basically without the top and he's basically powered out and all sorts of things like this. But there was one picture in this book of basically Akuma in basically sort of like leather bike rider's gear.
Yeah.
And the picture was fucking awesome. It looked absolutely fucking awesome. And it's the only picture I ever saw of Akuma which was different to how it's seen and actually looked great.
Yeah.
And this one. And they'd done the colour into it so nicely. And it was just absolutely an amazing picture. And I do like it when they actually try to do it. And I can imagine Akuma, if he wasn't such the disciple he was, he probably would come riding into a fight on a dirty, great big Harley Davidson or a Titan, and he'll beat you up after he's run over and done donuts on your face.
You know what? We've got half a minute left. Have we got time to talk about the movie? Because I can sum it up what's fun of it in a couple of words.
Here we go for something else. Street Fighter the movie in one word.
Actually, it'll take more than one word. But
I think should we just do an announced decision of the word shit?
Basically, the person who wrote the script for it had obviously never played any game to do with it whatsoever. Didn't know anything hardly about the characters. Completely ruined the entire thing. And then you've got a brilliant character actor and superb martial artist, Jean-Claude Van Damme, who hasn't done a good film to date, playing the lead role, and doesn't he do a brilliant job doing an American accent as well?
Yeah, tell me about it.
So, like Kevin Costner's English one in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yeah, there's only one difference between that, though. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves was a good film, and Street Fighter was shit.
Yeah. The only things that are remotely good about it is a bit Raul Julia's thing, because I do think he was superb.
Yeah.
Someone like Van Damme who can barely speak, let alone, you know what I mean?
Van Damme basically grunted through that film. That's the only way I can think of it.
I think his acting's even worse in that than what it usually is.
Yeah, well, he just goes to show that he didn't give a toss.
Well, he paid more for that. I did know the exact amount, but more for that than he had for anything ever. And still to date, that's the most he's been paid for any film. Yeah.
Well, let's do one quick thing. Let's look at things which go through the... Let's look at the characters that are involved. Let's look at Ryu and Ken, con artists. No, I'm sorry, I'm not buying that one. And the probably worst exception of a pansy ass fireball and a dragon punch I've ever seen. Like, and Ken does that sort of dragon punch. He doesn't even jump off the floor. He just lazily slings his fist.
Well, the guy they got playing him isn't even a martial artist and doesn't look nothing whatsoever like what he's supposed to look.
No,
he's got no muscle definition whatsoever.
None at all. Right, so we move on. We look at Chun-Li again. That was a fuck up.
I don't know. I think she's all right, actually. To be fair.
Okay. But, right, moving on. E Honda.
Vega's pretty good. Oh, E Honda. Well,
E Honda. Sumo from Hawaii. No.
Well, he is Japanese looking, and he is a sumo.
He's a sumo, but he was not from Hawaii. Balrog. No. Hold on. No. Balrog is one of Bison's right hand men. Sorry.
Yeah, he's not a good guy. They swapped him for DJ, didn't they?
DJ's thing. Zangief worked for Bison. No, if anybody knows Street Fighter storyline, Zangief cannot stand Bison.
Yeah.
And for what he does. Dalsim is now a doctor and a scientist.
Anything really, does he?
Yeah. And then Blanca turns out being, was it? When he says there, it's like, when he's got his mate, when he's sitting there, and it says Carlos Blanca. Ah, Charlie. How the hell did he come to that conclusion that it was Guile's mate?
Just because he looked at the monitor when he was on it, and he says, exactly. Oh, about, I'm coming for you, Charlie.
Yeah.
It could have been loads of people with a name Charlie there.
Yeah, exactly. Then you sit there, and you know, someone has just been thrown into that bit. Hi, I'm Charlie, I'm Giles, mate. I'm just chucking the wrong person in there.
Actually, that's a bit that's cut out of it, because it's always uncut on the TV, but the DVD and the video, and even at the cinema, was cut more, where when he fights them at the start, he snaps the necks, and the bit where he snaps the necks is cut out. And where Vegas fought him Ryu at the end, where you see him slash him, you don't see him slash him on it.
Yeah, I'll give you a... Vega is possibly the only character they got correct.
He does look really good, yeah.
He does. He's possibly the only character they got correct. Sagat is 4 foot too small.
Yeah. isn't he an American Indian, the guy playing him?
I'm not sure.
Where's Stoogie or something? He's out of Dances with Wolves. He is actually... Yeah. I'm pretty sure the actor he's an American Indian. That's what his nationality is.
Yeah.
Playing, well, it don't say where Sagat comes from, does it? But it's, you know, I know he thinks Thailand.
It's Thailand, yeah.
And where with Poison, it don't say where he's from.
No.
But in the new one, you'd think he's an Irish guy, which it says nothing whatsoever about that.
Yeah, as you see, Cammy, no, Cammy isn't Australian, and if you want an excuse to look at
Bliss Acton, I think she's the worst actress or, you know, person in the entire movie, worse than Van Damme, dare I say.
Yeah, and you sit there and say, did they just give you an opportunity to look at Kylie Minogue's arse cheeks? You don't need to, just watch one of her music videos if you could stomach it for long enough. And then you also got to sit there and say, they also had T-Hawk. He was about 6'2" tall and about 4'2" thin as well. Yeah. And as I said, it's like, how could you have got this so wrong?
And T-Hawk doesn't actually do anything, really, in the film.
No, he doesn't. He does
less than doubt him.
Yeah, he's just a waste of space. So if anybody wants to see the proper Street Fighter 2 film, go out and watch the animated film.
That's brilliant. I've got that on DVD. Yeah,
that is fucking fantastic. All the characters are in it. All the ones that shouldn't have part of the storyline are not in it. They just make their brief little cameo appearances. It's like when you see DJ, you see him for about a couple of minutes and that's it.
Yeah. And it's like, and he's quite funny in it as well.
Kyle says to him, he's like, Shannon, who are you? And he's like, yahoo, they are some badass motherfuckers. but then that's the kind of thing I expect from him, things like that.
Yeah.
People like Zangief and Blanka, they're just to the side. You see them once, but it's good enough.
And the ending of the actual Street Fighter movie is bad as well, where they do that, where they're standing there like when you completely
They're doing their poses for the things like that, and you're just sitting there, it's like, Hulk. But by the end of the story, if you haven't started vomiting blood over that
one. I do think there was worth thinking of making sequels to it, how they left it, because I watched it, because obviously I'd seen it at the cinema. I had to actually watch it twice at the cinema, because at the time,
Did they stomach it a second time?
Well, my mate fell asleep first time when we watched it, and I was like really disappointed with it. But my sister's ex-boyfriend, her son, who's nameless, he's God's honest truth, his name's Jamie Oliver. Yeah, that's his name. I took him to the cinema. This was like when I was 19, when Street Fighter came out, because he wanted to watch it. I told him it was shit, but he wanted to watch it anyway. And I watched it again. And as I say, anyway, getting back to what I was on about, not so long ago, it was on some dodgy channel on Sky, yeah? I think my dad was here, and we left it running after the credits, and you see, like, Bison ain't dead. His hand comes out of the thing, like, and he selects a thing, like, to try attacking over the world again.
Yeah.
Which I never knew that until years later. Even though I've got it on DVD and everything, I don't know why I got it on DVD, because I collect crappy computer game tie-ins and that. I've got pretty much all of them, except for Super Mario Brothers, and obviously I ain't got King of the Fighters, but I have actually got it on my computer, and it is all Tekken. Tekken's horrendous as well.
Yeah, that's just terrible. but for a Resistance recommendation of the film, I recommend you use it as toilet paper or something like that.
It's a manga one, it's much better.
Yeah, definitely. If you want to watch the best rendition of a Street Fighter film, make sure it's the Street Fighter 2, the animated movie. They did a couple of Alpha ones and a few other ones.
The Alpha ones were crap, I thought. They weren't
that good. The best one, the original Street Fighter anime film, people, you will not be disappointed with that one. But if you do want to be disappointed, then watch the original Van Damme one.
Or watch the American cartoon version of Street Fighter. That's bad as well.
Yeah, that's fucking awful too. So if you're looking for an hour and a half of complete disappointment, yeah, you can't very much go wrong with the Street Fighter.
But I do like respect Thingy for doing it, Royal Julian, because his kid wanted him to do it, and he weren't really that, you know, he knew he was ill and that. And he is like the only best reason to watch it, because he's acting exactly what you'd expect. I think he is good as Bison.
Yeah, he is good at Bison. The only thing that let it down is the cheesy comic in way they portrayed Bison.
Yeah.
If they would have portrayed Bison the same way as what he is in the game, the complete and utter self-detained lunatic that he is, I reckon Julia would have been able to pull that off no problems.
Yeah.
But the only thing I can truly remember around Julia as is Gomez Adams. In the story.
Yeah, the Rookie's really good. You ever seen that?
I've not seen that one, so.
That's Clint Eastwood and Charlie Sheen. That's definitely worth watching.
Oh, definitely. Shall we have a quick look what's in the Q&A section?
Sure. Yeah. We've run over again. We always do, don't we? Every time.
We always do. But hey, let's let it run this time.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've found a few more. And guys, if you could drop by the retro resistance section of the forum and drop us some more questions in for the future. Basically from Andy this time. If we were a console, which one would you be and why? Hard choice on that one, don't you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
What would I be? I'd say, you know what? Being an original Nintendo NES is pretty good, because that's when I talk to a lot of ladies about it, they seem to remember the original Super Mario Brothers, and quite a few of the games which come up are all basically on Nintendo's side. As I when you ask Gemma, my ex, she sits there. She remembers Mario Brothers, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. And what else is there? Gremlins 2. And I've known a few others. They all come off with Nintendo. So being a Nintendo machine is possibly the closest exception if you was going to be a console lady puller, if you ask me. How about you? Can you think of a machine you'd want to be?
Probably the Master. I like the Master System much better. I think the Nintendo, myself, even though I own one, I'm not the greatest fan of it because I think the games were massively overpriced. Basically, though, apart from Super Mario Brothers, I personally prefer the Master System. Think when games are on both, usually they're better on Sega's. Not always. Some of the actual Sega ones are better on an NES. Like Alien Syndrome is much better on an NES, believe it or not.
Or look at Ghostbusters. The Master System version is definitely better than that one.
Oh, yeah, the NES one's terrible. I'd say that's probably on par with the Atari one. Well, it is a bit better, but it's not as good as the home computer versions.
Oh, definitely. Well, can you imagine what you'd be if you'd be an Atari 5200? You'd be fat, overweight, and obese, and take up all the space.
they were huge, weren't they? Yeah,
they were huge. You'd have the NHS wanting to actually disconnect you from your life support. Right, what's the next one? Have you ever passed on a sure thing with a girl to choose to play a retro game? See, it's also said here, we're going to say it to Andy, you did, and you chose to go play Symphony of the Night and go and see your missus, you evil person. Evil person. But how about you?
No, I ain't. I've actually escaped from watching her horrendous film when I've been out with, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the story with that. Me and my mate, this is like 1998, I think it may have been earlier. We watched Titanic. We had to go because with my mate's girlfriend and this girl I was seeing called Sarah. Yeah, me and my mate went there, and Titanic was so horrendous. Me and him escaped halfway through to go over the pub over the road, and then went back in. And that's the only time I've ever seen Titanic, and I've got no intention of watching it in 3D or watching it ever again.
I don't think anyone's got any intention of 3D unless you're one of these, oh, look, it's Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, that's the time when he was doing the whole innocent acting sort of thing.
But the thing with him, right, I mean, I watched that Catch Me If You Can, and I thought I was expecting all this is going to be horrendous. And it was actually pretty good. He is quite a good actor.
But the
big problem he's got, he looks about 14 years old.
Yeah.
Even with his beard and that, he don't look old enough, does he?
Yeah, it's true. That's why I'm still waiting for Justin Bieber to start puberty. I'm still convinced he's still only 8 years old. Never mind. But for me, no, I've never skipped out on a date to play some old school gaming. I never got very many when I was young. I was a sad sort of type there. my gaming was more important than my love life. Well, I didn't have one at the time. It might have been different if I did.
Am I just saying that? I mean, I have turned up late for things when I've been playing games instead of it and made up silly excuses.
but I've actually turned up to work because I've been sitting there playing the game for far too long. And it's usually an old school one. If it's a modern day one, I usually shut it off when I want to because that's what I need the save feature for. Then I discovered there's save features on emulators, so I didn't have an excuse no more, really. Right. Out of the two of you, who could do the best Duke Nukem impression? So who wants to make an arse of themselves first?
Well, I can't do them at all.
You can't do it at all?
No, I mean, I could try.
Go ahead.
Those alien bastards, for sure, not my right. But I can't do them at all. Sounds more like Snake out of Metal Gear
Solid.
My mate can do a really good impression more. He used to be able to. I don't know whether he still can.
Yeah. It's just, you have to choose them out of the one line. It's like, I've got balls of steel. Was it your face or your ass? What's the difference? As I said, like, even the latest one, Duke Nukem Forever, some of the best ones, especially when he goes to see the Halo style armor. You got the guy sitting there, it's like, hey, do you want some armor? Power armor is for pussies. And oh, it's just great. One of the other ones, I'm going to break a broom handle off in your ass. Oh, but it's weird. But as far as it goes, no, neither of us can do a good one.
No. It's like there's this thing, who can do the best Bruce Campbell impression? And no one can do an impression of him.
No one can do an impression of him.
You'd think people like some people would be able to, but they can't.
That's because Bruce Campbell is a mutant, that's why. I'm still waiting for his chin to stop growing. Okay. So, we're going. Unfortunately, we've run out of time for this fortnight's podcast. Big thank you to everybody upstairs in the Retro Asylum who lets us stay in the basement. So, thank you, Malcolm, for being here with alongside again. Thank you, Andy, Glenn, and Swainy for carrying on with your show, who now have gone weekly. By the way, if you're listening to us on YouTube. So,
we've got no intention of doing that.
No.
It's too much.
Too much for us at the moment as well. So we're going to stick to the fortnightly rotor because that's what we like.
Mind you, we might have free house at one point, or then again, we might not.
Yeah, we are looking at ways, so we might try to have three of us on at once. So then we could all have a nice long discussion on that one. Please keep listening to us. I've been sending off a submission. I've been battling with Apple for the past week. Well, I've got the submission in, so hopefully we should be turning up on iTunes soon. So then we might actually be able to sit and say, hey, look, we've got an iTunes review. And I've got a feeling Andy is poised. He wants to be the first person to slap a review on there.
Well, I can honestly say I'll never give ourselves a review on iTunes because I can't stand iTunes. I did try doing it recently because I was going to do it for the Retro Asylum, and it took over my computer again. So I just thought, you know, I'm not doing it. I just uninstalled it.
Exactly. You know what to do, put it on a separate machine.
That's
the best way to do it. So big thanks to everybody, everyone who's also still working here at the Retro Asylum. As I say, we'll be back next fortnight for our Castlevania showdown.
Yeah, I'm still interested in that myself, but yes. I do think the Nintendo one looks better than I expected.
Yeah, so we'll see this one. So you'll see Will battling out with me to try and see who's on top. Big thanks to Potty Boy, who's continuing to submit his series, and Scoopy, who brings down his now and then. And like I say, guys, look, for a lot of you out there who sit there watching, why not try it yourself? As I say, go find yourself one of your old favourite games and review it. As I said, don't worry about it if you feel like a flop or anything else like this. Hell, if you don't want to put it on a channel of your own, let us know, and we'll store it on our Retro Resistance YouTube channel. I'm not fussed; I'll do it for you. So if you do want to try your own dab hand at reviewing, then like I say, give us a shout on a message, either on my YouTube or leave us a message on the Retro Asylum public mail system or wherever it is what they put on there. So it's all good. So big thank you to everyone for listening. As I say, check out the podcast on Podomatic at the moment until our iTunes one gets up there. You can download the MP3 there and take it with you and have us in your pocket at any time you wish. I don't know if that sounds wrong or not. So, big thank you to everybody and goodbye.
Yeah, it's goodbye from me. Thanks for listening, everyone.